What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello from the studio in Nitro, West Virginia. This is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt,
and I asked for it. I asked for Xavier. We got Xavier, and Xavier gave us the business. Once again, another bad memory. 16 threes, 10 of them from their bigs, and Xavier wins 78-68. So West Virginia has played two games away from the Hope Coliseum, and they are defeated 0-2. And Xavier just spread out the Mountaineers in the second half, passed the ball well. Guys were not staying in front of the Xavier opponents. And over, a Musketeer got past the Mountaineer and then found a spot-up shooter. And the spot-up shooter seemingly made all of the threes. They did not shoot 100%, but they shot really well. And I look back at Ross Hodges' two seasons at North Texas. You know how many times his North Texas teams gave up 16 threes in a game? A zero. WVU, historically, has only given up 16 one other time, I believe. I think Xavier tied a record for most threes made against a WVU team in history. And Ross Hodges at North Texas, twice an opponent made 11 threes in a game, and twice they made 10. And that's, so four times in two seasons did a team get to double-digit threes. And Xavier, again, made 16 today. So we can read this one of two ways, right? One way to look at it, a more positive look, is, hey, it was Xavier's night. Hey, Xavier has replaced Gonzaga as the small Catholic school that has West Virginia's number. That's one way to look at it. Flush it. Or the other way to look at it is that WVU's defense, while solid, is susceptible to giving up good looks from three. And here's why I say that. We're three games in a row. Opponents have fared well from three. Lafayette, who is not very good at basketball, they made 10 threes against WVU. Clemson's big made a couple of big threes late Friday. Overall, a decent game statistically, but the three killed them late. And then today, you saw what happened today. In West Virginia, they didn't bow down. They made some mini runs in the second half, cut the lead a couple of times to a two-possession game. And each of those times, Xavier responded with a made three. And West Virginia lost by 10. Xavier was plus 10 in made threes. You do the math. If you wanted to look at one stat to describe what happened today, it's that Xavier made 10 more threes than WVU, and they won by 10. Wanted the front line to look better than the Clemson game? Technically better, but they got outplayed again in a different way, right? Clemson did it from the outside as well as inside. The Xavier bigs today, they did it from the perimeter, pretty much. But Harlan Obioha did not have a great time away from the Coliseum. He, in two games, he shot 1 of 7 from the field. Today, he had 2 rebounds. And he got played off the court. He only played 15 minutes a day because if you can't make Xavier pay inside and Xavier's spread out and their bigs are popping and you're trying to cover that pick and roll, and that's difficult for any 7-foot guy, but you got to make him pay on the other end. Obi Oha couldn't do that today. He got played off the floor. West Virginia's leading rebounder today, you want to guess? It was the point guard. It was Jasper Floyd, which is not great. Not typically great. You know how many Mountaineers had a steal today? Just one. I mean, they had 4 steals. They all came from Jasper Floyd. Not great. When you're minus 10 in threes, how do you make it up in other ways? You got to get turnovers, and West Virginia forced less turnovers than Xavier did. Not great. Chance Moore in his second game. Not great. Borderline invisible. Was there positives from this game? I mean, Chase and Eaglestaff had a good game scoring the ball. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. That was encouraging. Did not make a 3. But just to see the ball go in the net. He had an and one. Got some good rebounds. It's encouraging to see Eaglestaff against good competition be more like what we would want him to be. Still struggling from 3. I believe he's shooting under 20%. It's not great. But to see him make shots, let's start there. And he was making shots today. Honor Huff, he got held scoreless in the first half. Scored all of his 16 in the second half. Electric. Enjoy his work. But really, are there any more positives than that? I mean, DJ Thomas had a pulse today. That was good. But that's it. Shout out to Xavier for making every open shot. And West Virginia is now 7 games into the season. And they're going to play plenty more. Over 20 more games. So we're 7 games in. There are some stats for this team that are alarming. I'm not sounding the alarm, but when you look at these stats, they're not just like trending downward. They are bad. There are 365 Division I schools. Looking at Ken Pomeroy's computer, here are the alarming stats. West Virginia is 300th in Division I in offensive rebounding. And if they didn't have Arlen Obioha, I mean, it'd be bottom of Division I. Now, they're offsetting this by doing a good job keeping opponents from offensive rebounding. So that's good, but that's got to continue for West Virginia to sustain being that bad at offensive rebounding. To give you a frame of reference, you know what last season's WVU team finished in Ken Pomeroy's computer for offensive rebounding percentage? 300th. It's the same. And that team was not good at rebounding. So that is alarming. And it's not something that Ross Hodge has in his history in his 2 seasons at North Texas, having a team that's bad at offensive rebounding. 7 games in, 300th is really bad. West Virginia is in the 200s in 2-point percentage and free throw percentage. Better job today, but I'd say overall, West Virginia, not very good from the free throw line. And the 2-point percentage does line up. They struggle finishing through contact at the rim. Not great. Defensively, after this game, where again Xavier made 16 threes, that puts WVU 291st in Division I in opponent 3-point percentage. The overall effective field goal percentage defensively is not bad. It's pretty good. And it's because they're defending the 2 near the top of Division I. But they've got to stay elite at that. And you know what's coming in the Big 12 schedule, where I don't know if they'll be able to sustain that where you saw what it looked like against Clemson. And if you're going to give up that level or that percentage from three, you've got to make it up in other ways. Like, you've got to turn teams over, and they got to keep doing that. So all of those are alarming, and I haven't given you the two stats that are the most alarming. And it's really one stat they have no control over, and one stat they kind of do, but let me explain. The one they have no control over is how well their opponents are shooting free throws. And this feels like a broken record, but it's happening again. 7 games in, the Mountaineers, in something they cannot change. I've talked about this on the podcast because it keeps happening. And it's happening this season. West Virginia is 326th in opponent's free throw percentage. How do you coach that up? The last 3 seasons, 3 different coaches, West Virginia's been near the bottom of Division I in opponent free throw percentage. And this season's the worst of those 3 so far. What kind of curse stat is that? Because again, what do you do about that? It's not like West Virginia is just fouling every team's best free throw shooter. Xavier didn't miss today. I mean, how many times has that happened? It's maddening. I've talked about this on the podcast in the past. Do you mumble? Do you, you know, maybe do like a, excuse my language, do like a fart sound before the guy shoots? I mean, maybe be creative, but I don't know what you do with that. It's goofy and it doesn't make sense.
The holidays are almost here, and if you still have names on your list, don't panic. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. I'm looking at my computer at Uncommon Goods. You type in West Virginia University. They got cool stuff, WVU themed. I've got the can-shaped glasses. They're my favorite glasses to drink out of. They got a College Town wall sculpture, a stadium lights end table, super cool stuff, unique, one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. So don't wait. Make this holiday the year you give something truly unforgettable. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
And it leads to the second alarming stat. In Ken Pomeroy's computer, there is a stat labeled luck. He keeps track of a luck ranking. And It's a computer-based ranking, which measures the difference between the team's winning percentage and what the computer has as the team's expected record. I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but that's the easy way to explain it. And Ken Pomeroy, this is the computer's 30th year of tracking this luck stat, among the others. West Virginia, this season, seven games in, is currently 302nd in Division One in the luck ranking. I don't know what to do with that. It's not great, and I don't know how they fix that. Besides, you know, do better with your superstitions. I don't know. And I look back over the 30 seasons in Ken Pomeroy's computer, and let's call a team in the top 100 of this rating lucky. For the sake of explaining this, top 100 in the luck ranking, you're lucky. Do you know how many teams have been lucky in 30 seasons? How many Mountaineer teams have been lucky in 30 seasons? I'll tell you, 7, which is maybe more than what you expected. But you have back-to-back Catlett teams in 99-2000 and 2000-2001. Beeline was rubbing a rabbit's foot constantly. I don't remember seeing that in the video, but his first 3 seasons at WBU were considered lucky by Ken Pomeroy's computer, including that Elite Eight team in 04-05. Of course, the Final Four team was high in the luck rankings in 2009-2010. And the first Press Virginia team, Javon Carter, Dasher Miles, freshman year in 2014-2015. So 7. So one stat in one computer that tracks quote-unquote luck. WVU has been lucky on average a little over once every 5 seasons. But they're in a drought. The last lucky team was the first Press Virginia team. So we're going over a decade now since Ken Pomeroy's computer has deemed the WVU team lucky. So let's, on the flip side, let's call a team in the bottom 100 of Division One unlucky. Hopefully you're sitting down. If you had to guess, would you guess that the West Virginia Mountaineer basketball team has had more unlucky seasons or less than the 7 lucky seasons per my random choosing of what deems a team lucky? You think it's more or do you think it's less? Don't think about it too long. But deep down, you know the answer. You know it's more. It's been 10 full seasons that West Virginia has finished in the bottom 100 of the luck rating. And this season, 7 games in, they're 302nd. They're firmly in the bottom 100 in luck. So if this keeps up, it'll be 11. So that's statistically West Virginia being unlucky a little over once every 3 seasons. And it would include, if it keeps up this season, 4 times midway through the decade. I mean, I don't know what to do with that, and I don't know how you coach that up either. Just be more... Ross Hodge, find a way to give this team more luck. Stop changing your underwear. Just find it. And please, Neil Brown, please be right about this one, about everything evening out. Please let's even out on the luck ranking, because it's not even. And so you watch that game today. It's the first losing streak of the season comes in November. But the season's not over. After 2 losses to 2 Power 5 opponents on a neutral court. But it adds some weight to the remaining 2 non-conference games that aren't bye games. There's only 2. One is in the other Charleston, the real Charleston, the Civic Center, against a Wake Forest team who's really good. Their only two losses are one-point losses at Michigan versus Texas Tech in the Bahamas this week. And then the other non-conference game that's not a bye game is in Cleveland versus what's currently an undefeated Ohio State team. I may have been mistaken about Pitt being a good team. They lost at home to Quinnipiac. They lost at their home place a couple of weeks ago to a good Yale team, but they lost to Yale at home by 34. Cut to today going into the Peterson Center and beating the Pittsburgh Panthers handily. But that's West Virginia's best win of the season right now, is against Pitt. Not holding up very well after today. And West Virginia plays in the Big 12, plenty of postseason resume building games in conference. But the committee doesn't just look at conference play. They look at what you did in the non-conference. And it feels like after these two losses and the best win being versus Pitt, who lost to Quinnipiac, but it feels like they've got to beat Wake or Ohio State so they can have that as their best win in what's going to end up being an overall weak non-conference schedule. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. The next game for WVU will be after Thanksgiving. Feels like it's been a while since West Virginia hasn't played either on Thanksgiving or really close to it. It will be the Sunday after Thanksgiving, November 30th, back in Morgantown, back in the Hope Coliseum. 3 p.m. game, ESPN+. West Virginia will play the Mercyhurst Lakers. Mercyhurst 3-4 on the season. They lost a day in Huntington by 9 to Marshall. The stats look decent defensively. They foul a ton. Let's call Mercyhurst's defense aggressive. Tons of fouls. Offensive stats, I can't sugarcoat it. They're really bad. They're offensive. Their offensive stats are offensive. You look in Ken Pomeroy's computer and there's tons of red on offense. But this will be Chance Moore's first game that counts in the Hope Coliseum. Will Jackson Fields be cleared for his first game? Haven't heard a status update on him. Probably get one this week. Hopefully he's getting closer to playing. West Virginia will be a heavy favorite against the Lakers. Can the defense have a return to form against a bad offensive Mercyhurst team? We'll find out. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms. Or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Pocket Cast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh with WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have 5 wins and they have 2 losses.